Now back to the Men's College World Series special, live from Omaha Baseball Village, powered by Access Bank, here for a reason, and Brookside Medical on 1620 The Zone.
Come by the Zone Booth inside of Omaha Baseball Village and register to win ice cream for a year from Ted and Wally's. Ted and Wally's official ice cream is 1620 The Zone, celebrating 35 years with over 3,000 flavors. Benson and downtown Omaha. We are now under an hour away from Ole Miss in Arkansas and Josh Hodson. That means that there are many, many friends of 1620 The Zone that are on their way down here. What should they expect with the traffic?
Well, they're probably in their cars right now asking, hey, where the hell are all the people? Because it's a little bit of a light day.
Oh!
You know, if you live in the city here, you gotta plan ahead. You make a plan. This game, not necessarily planned ahead of time. The traffic, either way, is presented by Park Omaha. Make a game plan for your parking. Reserve a downtown parking space in advance at parkomaha.com. We got Cumming Street backed up. Normally, it's backed up all the way to 27th before a game.
Uh-huh.
Right now, you start seeing some rear lights at about 20th Street. So you're smooth sailing. If you want to come down here, you could probably walk up and get yourself a ticket to this game. If the traffic is any indication ahead of time, it is presented by Park Omaha. Make a game plan for your parking. Reserve that downtown parking space in advance at parkomaha.com.
Yeah, thank
you know
you
where
very
everyone
much,
probably is? They're probably sitting at home waiting for the NBA draft to start.
That's true.
They're counting down. They're tailgating for the NBA draft.
Yeah, Big draft town.
It's been a light day, traffic-wise, foot traffic-wise, inside of the Omaha Baseball Village, and so that makes sense that the road traffic shows that as well.
I'm kind of actually a little bit surprised with how many people are actually here right now. I mean, I know, listen, it's 2:20 on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
People are working. It's Omaha Baseball Village is pretty populated
right
now. Yeah,
and this was a game, of course, that we all thought would have been at night, but because of some weather in the forecast and the NBA draft, of course, that's why it got moved up. Jimmy, I've been promising some stats for you. Haven't had a chance to get to them until right now. Looking at this year versus last year, so through 12 games now, at the Men's College World Series, teams are hitting, these stats are from Rob Anderson and John Bishop, a little hodgepodge for you. Teams are hitting 260. That compares to last year, 236. There are more runs being scored per game. There have already been, Jimmy, in this Men's College World Series, more doubles than there were the entirety of last year. There have been 23 home runs, only five short of what we had the entirety of last year. So we have really seen that uptick in offense like we thought we might a couple of weeks ago coming into this Men's College World Series.
I'm really excited to see, and maybe not excited, the right word, but I'm interested to see how those numbers stack up 2 years from now when I think you're going to have less super seniors from the COVID numbers and things like that, because I think the age of the players in this series has really been the direct result of that. Like guys, a lot of guys that have seen a lot of high-level competition on the diamond, being around for another year, I think, is probably a lot of the reason that you're seeing the success from the bats that we are.
Yeah, and you know, not to make this about a different sport, but I do really wonder, as we get out of the COVID eligibility, it's going to still take a few more years. I wonder what that will do, and maybe what we could see kind of at this very, very long tail of guys that went to school, they played in the 2020 season, and they got an extra year. You know, like what happens in the immediacy after some of those guys do graduate and, you know, move on from playing college football, college basketball, college baseball, et cetera.
Like you said, not to make it about another sport, but listen, everything around here we reference back to football. It's just what we do. That's been, and I hate to keep talking about Alabama too, but it's kind of been the most impressive thing about it. This has been a time period in which bringing in young five stars maybe shouldn't be the advantage that it normally is, and there's and I think it's been the reason that Cincinnati was as successful as they were a year ago. But it's very surprising that other teams that have been a little bit older and a little more experienced haven't been able to take that brass ring and run with it. And the SEC has still been as successful as they have been.
We've been joking about the NBA draft today. Are you excited at all about the NBA draft tonight? Is this something that you look forward to on the sports calendar?
The NFL draft is the first round of the NFL draft is my favorite day of the sports calendar year.
Of the whole year? You like that more than like an opening Sunday in the NFL season?
It's my favorite. Just
wow.
The endless possibility, because there's so many storylines that come out of it, and I'm a storylines guy. And the analytics of it and the trades that are possible. And, by the way, I think there's going to be a – I think Kyrie Irving is going to be in a New Jersey tonight after this first round of the NBA draft. But there's nobody in this draft that does it for me that I think is going to be must-watch next year. I think there's a lot of guys. I think Chet Holmgren's a guy that
– He's very unique, very interesting.
Is exciting maybe 3 years from now if his body type holds up in the NBA, which will be the story around him, which is why I don't think he goes in the top two tonight, by the way.
Yeah, what happens with his weight? How big is he within a few years, et cetera, et cetera?
Right, and it's a very guard-driven league, and the fact that the top four guys aren't guards I think makes it a little less intriguing as well. But, I mean – No.
I don't feel bad saying that. I'll be honest. I don't really like the NFL draft. I really don't care.
Okay.
I understand its importance, of course, and I want Dallas to draft really good players. And, you know, last year, for example, they got Micah Parsons, which was awesome.
Yeah, but he's all right.
Yeah, not too shabby of a dude. I don't really put all of my – see, like, you said what you just did a few minutes ago. It's your favorite sporting day of the whole year. That is not, like, a rare statement. There are a lot of NFL fans that feel that way. I never have. It's never been the, like – the day that I look for, like, give me week one, week two, week three. Give me every week of the season. Give me every Saturday with a random NFL game. Give me every college football set. Like, all of those. And then, you know, NBA finals. Like, the NFL draft is so far down. But, man, you want to find my interest in the NBA draft, you're going to have
keep
to.
Keep going.
Oh, just keep digging a hole. I was trying to figure out this morning why I'm maybe not super duper into the NBA draft. I think part of it is I guess don't like drafts. Maybe
is it any of it because you hate the draft lottery process? Because I think that's got a lot to do. Because I hate that process.
I think for me, with the NBA, you know, like if you don't have a top whatever pick, and it depends. Some years you can have a top 10 pick and you're gonna feel good.
Sure.
Sometimes you need like a top 2 pick or you're gonna feel like I just don't like. It's just a very thin group. It's always like a thin group. And look, man, even with the NFL draft, at least you got years worth of getting to know the players, like.
That's
by the time they're picked in the NFL, like I'm like, I know who that guy is. I know Joe Burrow's story. I watched him play.
Is he better than what we have here, though?
Yeah, and so, like, I get all that stuff. The NBA, it's like these guys were in high school a year ago. So it's really hard for me to feel invested. But I think part of it, too, is my overall, like, meh on college hoops. If I'm not really into college hoops, and so if I'm not into college hoops, then I'm not invested in the storylines. If I'm not invested in the storylines, like, just call me in a couple years when they're really good in the pros.
It probably doesn't help that Orlando's the number one pick either. Not, you know, small market team, not a lot of success. So I lived in Daytona Beach for all of 2018, and the weekend after I got to town, LeBron was coming down to play Orlando, and I was like, I never got to see Michael play, I never got to see Kobe play in person. I can't miss this. So I was like, man, tickets are probably a couple $100. That's fine. I paid $9. To get into the cheap seats.
Wow.
And I literally walked down unsolicited down behind the bench and got four rows up from LeBron James. And I could have literally rolled down the aisle and not touched another soul. There's not a whole lot of interest in Orlando for the basketball team.
Sure.
So them being the number one overall pick, I don't think helps either.
Well, that for you sounds like more of a personal problem. For me, I don't really care about Orlando being, you know, whether they're one or two.
But I think this is a problem. I don't think anybody cares.
I do think the bigger issue, especially this year, is I don't think anyone's in love with the guys that are at the top.
Lack of star
they have
power.
They have a lot of flaws. Like, yeah. I mean, you mentioned LeBron. You know, people forget he got picked by a really small market in Cleveland. And yet that draft was fascinating, of course. Him, Carmelo's going to Denver, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, all these guys, Darko Milicic, they're all in this
the
draft.
The great Darko Milicic.
And that was crazy, but those were huge names. By the time that those guys were drafted, you know, we knew who LeBron was. We knew who Dwayne Wade was. We heard whispers, who's this Darko guy? Tell me more about him. This year, it's like, wait, that really tall, skinny dude from Gonzaga? The underachieving team that always loses in the national championship or the final four. And look, I love Gonzaga. I'm just saying what other
Josh
people
Peterson
are saying.
Out on Gonzaga.
But like, I think that they look at him and they're like, really? That's the guy? This is the best?
We when we were talking to Ryan McGee a minute ago from ESPN, I brought up that I thought the Arch Manning hype train is very comparable to LeBron. Do you feel that way?
Say that one more time.
Arch Manning's hype train, the hype behind him, is very comparable to LeBron James.
So he agreed with you, and so I think I'll agree with you because he did, given that he like really, really follows this stuff. But I'll be honest, with Arch, I don't know how hyped he is or isn't beyond just that he's a five-star, but I think that's partly because of my intake on the shows, on ESPN.
Yeah. And nobody could blame you for not listening
yeah,
to this.
Yeah, so, like, I don't do that. And so, like, when you said it earlier or others said it, like, yeah, they talk about him all the time, I'm like, oh, interesting. I had no idea. Now, I'm not surprised by this news, but I just pay so little attention to those that I kind of feel like I miss out. So when I first was, like, hearing about him over the last year, I was like, oh, wow, so this player is really, really hyped. But, look, his last name's Manning, so I feel like you know, that's a pretty spot-on comparison.
Yeah, it almost feels like they're on a counter. Okay, we got to make sure we get 10 arch reads in here.
Yeah.
But by the end of this show, and
how much of that too is? I mean, they have a relationship with the Mannings. You know, I mean, they literally were on ESPN.
That's literally where I was going. Yeah. And I was going to say, I wonder how much that has to do with the Manning broadcast and everything that goes in. And obviously, Peyton's done a lot of stuff. He's hosted the ESPYs. He did Peyton's Place. He's done a lot of stuff for ESPN. And he's a smart guy. And I wonder how much of that was articulated to because he knew that his nephew was coming up and was probably gonna have a good shot of having some recognition with him, his uncle being and he would have either way, but I think Peyton and Eli both being on ESPN as much as they have been probably helps out a little bit.
1620 The Zone live hydration sponsor is Coors Light. It is time for a hydration break presented by Coors Light, keeping Nebraska chill. We have one segment to go. We will come back, one final preview of the game today between Arkansas and Ole Miss, winner to the championship series at the Men's College World Series. He's Jimmy. I'm Josh. We have Josh down here. We got Chance back there. Last segment coming up next, 1620 The Zone.